Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
Dr. Cassandra McDonald, pastor of Caring and Sharing Ministries. Oh my goodness, it's September and we have a new, this is wonderful, Dr. McDonald, we have a new a theme for this year. And I'm so thankful and so very excited to share this theme with you. God. This is an amazing God. I love Him. I worship Him. I thank Him. If you keep your eyes and ears open and stay in tune to the voice of the Lord and listen for him, he will share so many incredible wonders with you, because that's what he wants to do. So, as you may recall, this year we've been studying the whole armor of God. And so we're to the verse now where we're putting on the helmet of salvation. To put on this helmet of salvation. And I have, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see the little imagery. I have a helmet of salvation, and it says preserving our faith. That's the imagery that I chose to support what this is. So my subject is, how many heads do you have? And right before I came in, I heard the Lord saying, just the opposite of what we normally say, you know, have a strong head. And he was saying, be strong-headed, be headstrong. That's what he said. He said just the opposite. And normally, the connotation that, well, he's just headstrong, means the person is stubborn and they don't listen and they got their mind made up and they're not going to be moved. And God said, yeah, that's the kind of soldier I'm looking for, one that is headstrong. They are strong in the Lord, the power of his might, and have made up their mind that God is the way, the truth, and the light. Now, as the song was being played, I said, Lord, let me random a scripture here in the Bible, just random, and see where you have my hand land. Ha! I'm telling you, I got so magnificent. Right on one of the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you, landed in 1 John, the first chapter, and I use that in our studies today. But I'm going to go ahead and just start with it. The first chapter, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word, it says, let me read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, synonymous, all the same thing. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He in him was life, and the life, light, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended his night. There was a man sent, and he goes to talk about John, to bear witness. Now see, John was headstrong, but he knew who his head was. He wasn't confused. When people would try to make out about John and talk about, I mean, because John came on as a rebel. I mean, he came eating locusts and honey, and he was different, and he was talking about the baptism of repentance, and people, you know, people always look for something tangible that they can see to worship, and that's our human nature. And so they want to put John up, and he goes, whoa, ho, I'm not the head. He says, that whom I worship and that who I open and lead for, I'm not even worthy to bend down and latch their shoes. John was not confused. So my title is, how many heads do you have? How many heads do you have? Who's leading you? Who's the headstrong person in your life? Who do you listen to? Who is your go-to? Who do you run things by? How many heads? Well, there should be only one, and it should be Christ, our Lord Jesus, because he is the head. And I'm going to, I think I'll stay in here for a minute, because I'm feeling led to do so in this chapter of John to the scriptures that I had chosen prior. But when I use this scripture in my study, the body study, the reason why I used it is because I was talking about the validity of the name of Jesus. And here in the first chapter of John, the validity and reliability of his name is explained very, very, very succinctly here. And he's telling you what the word was, how the word was, and why the word was. And if you drop to the 14th chapter, it says, I think I'll back up and read that. I mean, the 14th verse. I'm in the first chapter. And I think I will go start again at the 12th verse. But as many as received him, first chapter, John 12, verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believed on his name. Two action words here, that received him and believed him. Sounds as if they're not interchangeable, but they significantly are different and do two different things. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word, 14th verse, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory and the glory of the only begotten Father. Listen to this. As the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So the word was the Father wrapped up in the flesh and called himself Jesus. Now, when I talk about the head, it's so important to understand, to receive this and believe on his name. Now, why I'm referencing this is because it's so interesting, the things that we've been exposed to and what we believe and how it keeps us from receiving. The Word of God, even though it's written here, will say things. And I was referencing that was on my heart. Was a person I've talked to, many people have said the same thing. Well, I don't think, and that's how they start that statement. You go, oh my goodness, God never asked you to think that much. He asked you to receive him and then believe on his name. That's what it said. Well, I don't think that the Holy Ghost is for me, for everybody, because I tried not to get it. And they just use it as an excuse. I said, but that's not in the Bible. I said, do you want it? And this has happened several times. They'll say, well, yeah, but I don't think it's necessary. But they always preface it by, I don't think. So they didn't receive and they didn't believe. But they say, I don't think. What you think doesn't validate the Word of God. It's not based on what you think. He said, he is the light. And he is the light that shineth, and then in him was life. That's who you will be concerned about, who thinks is God, if he's your head. And then I'll say, well, you can receive it now if you want it. And then I'll pray and I say, I know you're going to open your mouth, speak it, and they'll open them. I kind of like, stick up my shutting it, and they'll speak it. I'm like, well, that kind of dispelled that statement of yours, because now you have it. Then I'll introduce to them about the power of Jesus' name to wash away sins. And then they'll say, well, I don't think that's necessary. It's all, why do we compare what we think with the Word of God? Because then you're following your head. Then you are being headstrong, but not strong in the Lord. And then the power of his might is your might. And that's what brings us to that scripture that at one point just concerned me. And it's in Matthew 7, chapter 20, verse 1. But, Lord, we did many wonderful works in your name. And God replied, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I went, ooh. So they did many works in his name. They said, we cast out demons. You know, we prayed in your name. See, the thing is, if you use his name, it's law. He will respect and honor that. But he still called them workers of iniquity. And I went, Lord, that's witchcraft. I said, woo, that's hard. I said, I really just don't understand. They were trying. I mean, you know, maybe they didn't have a full understanding. And God told me, he said, my name, as I read to you, so important to him, that I didn't even tell anyone in the Old Testament what my name was. Wrapped myself up in simple flesh. And it said the word wrapped itself up in flesh in the 14th verse, first chapter of John. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He said, until I wrap myself up in flesh, and then I told you my name is Jesus. And all power is in my name. And here's what he says in 12 verse. But as many as received him, to them he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So these people used his name, but apparently they didn't believe on his name. They just used it. He said, there are going to be many that stand before me. He says, I never knew you. I'm like, whoo, that's rough and tough. But you know what God answered and told me? He said, they did everything in my name, but take my name. And that's what this scripture is saying here. But believe. And so what happens, I found in Romans another validation, an explanation to support what's going on here. I'm like, whoa. There's so many people being deceived. They're walking the walk. They're talking the talk, but they don't believe. He says, as many as believed on my name. And it says here in Romans that for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's Romans 10:3. I just got it. Okay, so remember I'm saying there's a differentiation between the words received and believed. So here it says, let's read that again, for being ignorant, to establish, have not submitted. So if you receive, then you humble and submit to receive this. So that's where that comes in, and that could be interchangeable. Submitted to receive or humbled yourself to receive. That would explain that to, so in order to believe, what you have to do is let go of your head and what you're thinking, and I thought, and I'm thinking, and the way I who said all those I's? I believe that was Satan. Who was in heaven with God. He says, I will rise up and I will do this. And he dropped like lightning. You know, we want to watch our I statements. Well, I think and I thought and I really? Wow. Not significant. Okay. Only the word of God. It says, as many as received him, he gave them power. Oh, my Lord. Woo! And what does that mean? Power to become the sons of God. Wow, that means we shall reign and live with him now and forever. So what what is it that you want out of life? And you have a choice, and guess what? It's your choice to make. What do you want? Who do you want to be your head? Who do you want to follow? Do you want to put on this helmet of salvation that God came and died for us to have? For salvation means deliverance from sin. So if God came to, and tells you to put on the armor of God, and the helmet is part of that armor, and it calls a helmet of salvation, which is going to deliver you from sin, will you remain where you are because of your I thoughts and I thinks? Using the word of God, why you say, like these people did, but Lord, we prayed in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonderful miracles in your name. He tells them, I never knew you. Woo, that is such definement. I never? Never? You using my name and I never knew you? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty deep. They're using his name, and he's telling them, I don't know you, because they never submitted. They never received the doctrine. They just used it. Wow. That's, wow. You know, I was trying to do a parallel with something. They never took ownership. I guess it's, now, the imagery came in front of me was a car borrowing a car. Okay, that works. But you don't own it. You have no ownership to it. If anything breaks down, you have no ownership to embrace it, to fix it. You have no value in it. You have no expense. You have no committed any money to it. You just borrowed somebody's car and used it to get, you just used it to get you here, to get you there. Can I borrow your car today? Okay, you don't pay insurance. You don't put the gas in. You don't do any of the repairs. Okay, it has no value to it. You have no ownership to this vehicle except for what it's good for. That's horrible. You know, and that's how God, I guess, feels in what he's saying. You're just using my stuff, but you don't believe me. You haven't even received me. I don't even know you. No communication with him. You perform these miracles by your righteousness, but not his. You know, God told me one time, he says, you know, I have feelings too. I hurt. It hurts me when people defame my name and they just use my name, but they don't really love me. And I gave my life because I love them. I don't know. Wow. It hurts him when we sin. It hurts him when we choose our feelings and our needs. Oh, God understands he made me. I have needs. Really? He said he'd give you power to those that would receive and to be able to overcome. And now, last verse in Jude, it's only one chapter. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. I mean, he gives you power to keep you if you want to be kept. You don't have to fall. But who's your head? How much do you love him? Do you know him? Better than that, does he know you? Because he told these people, depart. I don't know you. That's just, I wouldn't want to wait till I stood before him for him on a day that we will all stand before him. And he tells me, depart. I never knew you. You know, not that, you know, you left me some, but I never knew you. Wow. Because it says here, and I turned to the seventh, I turned to the seventh chapter. And you know how sometimes they outline the chapters for you and tell you the synopsis. So here it says, it's under false prophet. It says, beware. This is the 7th chapter, 15th verse. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Whoa. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, thorns, or figs, or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, but corrupt trees bringeth forth evil fruit. A good fruit tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. So I guess you've got to look beyond the miracles, because that's kind of showtime, like showtime at the Apollos, because they're doing the stuff you think, but they're doing miracles and, you know, things are happening. So we have to really use wisdom and be able to discern the difference. Now, the 20th verse right after that, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you've got to look. You can't be, look where they said everything that glitters is not gold. So you can't just look at that alone. Many shall say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, who hears these sayings of mine and likens them not and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. So he talks about building a house on a rain, on a rock. So you got to build everything you build based around who's your head. Who are you following? Who are you listening to? I know in my upbringing, we were taught fear. And that's basically what we worship. Not only speaking for me. And it came as a rude awakening when I realized that's what I was doing. Here I thought I was serving the Lord. I was holy. I was sacrificial, paying my tithes, fasting, praying, you know, worshiping. But in my heart, there was fear. And fear has torment. And fear is not of God. And I had to learn, I'm serving fear. My head was not correct. And the subject is, how many heads do we have? I had a head that I thought I was following, but it wasn't the right head. I feared. And I feared what people would say. I feared. Because when the Lord, and I've mentioned this several times, came to me the first time, he said, if I tell you to go, and I tell you where and I tell you when, will you go? And I went into, what will this person think? What will that, what will this say? That, you know, that was my thinking. You know, it's a mind thing. Man, you've got to be careful. And after I went through a list of people, I said, oh my goodness, you're not first. You're not my head. I was like, this is awful. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm not like Abraham. When you told him to go, you didn't tell him where. And he just, that's what it's called, a man of faith. He just left. Because he said, you got to get out from amongst your people. And he was willing to do that. He didn't worry about what people said. So we really need to examine. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you know you have life. And the scriptures that I did use, although I've gone another direction, but just for your reading, is Ephesians 4th through the 13th verse. For there is one body. There can be only one. One spirit. Even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through you all, in you all. And here's that power stuff that he was talking about that he gives us. But unto every man is given grace, that he gets of Christ. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity as one. And the knowledge of our Son Jesus Christ unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ. And then I took Philippians 2:5, that is mine, being you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Choose God as your head. Be headstrong. Know who it is that you're serving. And it's not pomp and circumstance, but you love God. You abide in his word, and he abides. So he can say, I know you. Good and well done, my faithful servant. That's what you want to hear. And you want to hear that daily. So be blessed and love God. Come, I share. Blessed Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.